Better believe it. It's Saturday morning, everyone, April 13, 2024. Just a beautiful day today and tomorrow. Today it says 78 will be the high. Tomorrow, Sunday, 80. Back to work Monday, 70 degrees. 303-696-1971. Lines are jammed up. Two great topics. And just these Saturday shows, I'm telling you, I just walk out of here and tell Lou, I said, hey, there's some people out here who are so smart and ask all the right questions or give the right answers. And one of them, I started two different things, and Coles have been there on OJ. And what that trial was now about, would it be different if it was today? And the other one is, it's precarious right now, and Joe Biden has said he expects Iran to attack Israel sooner than later, his quote. And we're talking about the fleet is now coming into the Red Sea. And what do these things mean? And asking yourself, we've got a great caller on hold, we'll go to him, what's in it for the country? And why did these things happen? And I brought up Haiti. And Haiti has just been absolutely horrible ever since the quake, but even before that, during the time of the Tumaku and the Duvaliers, and it was all just allowed to happen. Papadoc was an anti-communist. The DR had been through, it was 65, I think, and the DR had been through the revolution. Panama with Noriega, you support these people. And the Soviets supported their goons as well. But this caller is just spot on. So without further ado, I'm going back to him. And it's Andy. Our lines are jammed. And Andy's asking, I think, all the right questions, about loving your country and about watching it happen. So where we go from there? Andy, your turn.
Well, I think where we left off was we have these two candidates right now, and if we have any hope of changing things or rewinding things or anything like that, I think that's the demoralizing aspect. You have a guy, like I said, I'm going to start with Biden, who obviously I think he has some form of sundowners, because as soon as he's tired at all, he starts fumbling his words and he gets incoherent and lost, and his wife has to guide him off the stage. If you don't think these countries, they really are functioning from the Stone Age, look at that and just laugh or think I'm going to keep moving the line. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay. I think you're wrong. I think, if something should happen, like let's say these guys bulldoze the Dome of the Rock in Israel, you don't think that's going to be World War III?
That's everybody. But the Dome of the Rock is everybody's got a hunk of that, except the Muslims are. When I wanted to go and see it, and everybody kind of waved me off and said, want to get hit in the head with a rock, go ahead. But, if you read it, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying you have something that's kind of like that Archduke Ferdinand, where something is just going to spark World War III.
That's a tripwire.
Putin looking at Poland or whatever. Do you really think that Biden is going to be able to put in a 15-hour day and make coherent decisions? I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
And truthfully, I don't think Trump is either.
No.
Trump does not strike me as someone that's got it in to either. I mean, he's brighter than the alternative, which is not saying a ton. It's frustrating for me as a conservative Christian, too, not sit there and look at everybody around me that supports Trump and go, you don't see that he's manipulating and placating into your interests with the Trump Bible and all this other nonsense? The guy does not have your interest in stake. He's never gone to the grocery store and looked at his checkbook and said, man, I really hope I can put dinner on the table this week. He's never done that. His sons, he doesn't have a stake in it that his sons are going to go fight these wars. So I don't understand why people jump behind these people and think, yeah, this is my guy.
We ended on that. This was the call of the month. Brother, thank you. You lit everybody up. They're sending all kinds of mixed messages in. Without saying the company or whatever, what do you do for real?
I teach math.
Okay. No, you do. It's a home run call. I appreciate it. Thank you. Be safe. All right. We go to Mike on line 1, 303-696-1971. 78 to high. Hey, Mike, you're on a radio show. Good morning and thank you.
Well, good morning. Welcome back. One thing I like about your show, by the way, and it's rare, you attract thinking people. That last caller is obviously a thoughtful, thinking person. And I was going to comment. I originally called to talk about the Iran situation, the Persians. But real quickly, I struggle. What I love about this country is the idea of America, what we were founded on, what all the rights and privileges that we were given as a people by our Constitution that other people throughout history have never had.
Well, it's a first.
And we ran.
No, it was. It was a first.
Yeah, first country to be founded upon a written Constitution. But and the ideas that were circulating at the time, like Washington, beware of foreign entanglements.
Yes.
So we had those great ideas. Today, I don't like what we've become. I am not proud of what we are. I have problems putting the flag out now, because what is that representing? Mm-hmm. Either the past, or does it mean I support where we are now? No, I don't, and I agree with Andy in a lot of ways.
We were talking, and Lou Gonzalez and I were talking during the pause, and, the Palestinians. And when this nation, and it's called Manifest Destiny, is the historical theory, and, it's we simply took, and without regard to anybody. And it's Henry Jackson Turner, I think, was the guy that conceived Manifest Destiny, but When Arizona becomes a state, and I think it's 1912, then the next year, Queen Kamehameha gets overthrown in Hawaii, and it all begins. And by this time, way before that, the United States is in the Philippines, and we're in Central America, we're in Nicaragua, we're doing these things, and as though it was manifestly okay. And I hear a lot of that from people that have professed religious backgrounds, and it's like, it's okay, we're manifested to do this. It's, God gave that land to these people, and as some Palestinian said, well, now God's a real estate broker. All of it gets, but it happens, it isn't anything that happens when the United States goes abroad with Woodrow Wilson. We're doing this stuff long before then. And it's one of the reasons, good, bad, or indifferent, that indigenous people side with the Palestinians. They really do. I mean, you go to talk to native people, they see the Palestinians as themselves. They see the Palestinians as what happened to them. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. Go ahead.
I went to the Little Bighorn. I've never been there, and I went with True and myself and Kenny and Deb, and we went up to see it. And I read so much about it, but it was the 9/11 of that moment, was what happened to George Custer. Was the 9/11 of that moment. It also, that was it for them. And it was Grant's president, and they just, that was it. After that, the Great Plains Indians were done. But they, and all of these things, and they're very tragic. And at the same time, this is this brilliant country that does do these things and has produced so much of it, of the world, and what we should be proud of. Mike, I don't have an answer.
Well, Peter, but if you look at the broad, real broad historical, the history of our planet is one group of people marching around the planet, kicking another group around,
sure,
or conquering them or wiping them out. And so where what we have become, call it imperialism or imperialistic,
sure,
is a typical throwback to the history of humanity. And so it indicates to me that we're not any more advanced than previous peoples, our predecessors. It generates bad feelings and, frequently retaliations, and the cycle never ends. Hey, can I run something historically
by
you?
Sure, of course.
We don't want a war with Iran. I agree. But, you know, they're trying to build it up. I was thinking today, Western civilization has been at it for 2,500 years, wars with the Persians. You go back to the ancient Greeks, you know, Thermopylae. Mm-hmm. They were fighting the Persians, Xerxes, you know, the Roman Empire. Well, what resulted from that? We unleashed Alexander the Great. He ran through and conquered and destroyed the ancient Persian Empire. The Romans, one of their biggest opponents on the eastern flank was the Persians. Think about Cyrus.
Cyrus
he freed the Jews.
Cyrus the Great.
Sent them back, and they were able to be a free people again. So I by the way, the Persians are Indo-Europeans.
Oh, absolutely. They're Aryans, absolutely. And they'll tell you in a minute that they are. But I'm going to.
We have a common language background.
But when you back it out, it all begins, or the relationships between our country and, you want to call it Persia, you want to call it Iran, and Persia was, the Persians feared the British and the Russians as their colonialists during the, what was called the Great Game, during the time of the Czars. And by contrast, the United States was seen as more trustworthy. Well, that's what you got out of it. So during the Second World War, Persia's invaded by the Ukraine and the Soviets. Remember, when they meet, they're in Tehran. When they sit down with Joe Stalin, they're in Tehran. They're controlling.
Yeah.
And so then they have a Mossadegh, who's a legitimate government. The relationships and the Persians, and they here comes the American CIA, and they overthrow and they bring the Shah back. And Persia's been, or Iran. So they know that history. I'd be willing to bet you that if you and I went down the 16th Street Mall and started asking people to explain that, they couldn't do it. And only because there's a lack of interest in it.
Yeah, you know, and that's a really good point. I think that one of the reasons that we're at our current point is because we're unaware of our history.
Yeah.
And glorious, you know, as far as the founding.
But now that's being destroyed by white males who own slaves.
Yeah, I know. That's a rich topic. But, you know, we don't have perspective as a people anymore about how privileged and lucky we are to be here where we are and how far we've fallen from, I'll say, our original heights. And by the way, wasn't it Teddy Roosevelt's grandson, that Kermit, that was involved with the overthrow of the CIA
in
Iran?
Absolutely.
I mean, like you said, it goes back a ways.
I just put a column out on it's Franklin Delano Roosevelt's grandfather made money, what they call the China trade.
He
brought drugs. He brought opium into China. That's where the Delano fortune came from. Was they were opium dealers. They ran opium into the Chinese. So I mean, everybody. I mean, it's do you get away with it? And the answer is, I'm not so sure. But now, this clash with the Iranians this morning or this afternoon or tomorrow, please don't let it happen.
We're in for a lesson, I think.
I think so.
It's gonna stir up things terribly. But again, with Andy, agreeing with him, we have nobody in a position right now that is going to lead this country ably in comparison to past leaders we've had.
Agreed.
I'm not going to, you know, Trump or especially Biden.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
I'm with you.
We'll send our carriers over there and see what happens.
Great call. Thank you. To the wall, Queen, I won't do this correctly, but it was not Kamehameha. It was Lakeuwani. was overthrown in 1898. Okay. Some of these I just won't read. I'm sorry. It's just, I apologize. Hey, Mary, you're on a radio show. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. I'd like to play a game with you.
All right.
Let's pretend in Milwaukee at the Republican convention. Suppose all of a sudden they turn down Trump. Who would you like to see in there?
That's
what
right.
kind of a personality, diplomat, politician? Who's out there?
Well, I was in Florida. I was in Florida last week with my family, and they loved DeSantis. I mean, they DeSantis is respected in Florida, and a lot of the stuff that you and I watch happening here doesn't happen in Florida. DeSantis doesn't tolerate it.
And I think he's great in Florida.
DeSantis, there. You asked a question. That's the one that comes to mind for me.
Well, how about foreign policy? What would he know about that?
Well, that's one of those lessons. It's that you, when you take the job, you hope that you can put the right people around you. There have been one or two presidents, I think, that came along that Ronald Reagan had no foreign policy experience. He was governor of California, two terms. And yet he
had the personality.
He's my favorite guy. I mean, my two favorite American presidents of the century were FDR and Ronald Reagan. But Reagan just had that ability. Your point's well taken. Just had that ability. And
yes.
So and there are others that you, Nixon, who had this great sense of himself and foreign policy vis-a-vis the Chinese, but he was lying so much about Southeast Asia and lying about domestic policy stuff that, you know, he had to resign. Your question's great, Mary. I don't have an answer.
No, I was just curious because I was thinking back, and other than George W. Bush, sort of, we've never had a businessman for president. Somebody that's actually run a business, which is what we are, is a business.
The business of America is business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you at least can figure out money and what we do that way. I said George W. Bush, and he had that little oil company.
Interestingly enough, it was called Zapata Oil, and where the Bay of Pigs was the Zapata Swamps is where the pigs went ashore, or where the invasion took place. And I think it means Bigfoot or something. I don't speak Spanish, but Zapata, I think, is Big Shoe or Bigfoot Swamps. But then he named his oil company. Before the Bay of Pigs, he had named the oil company. It was in Midland, Texas. And he named it Zapata Oil. Or Zapata, I think it was Zapata Oil.
And the Bushes are the bad guys. I know that. But he did have his hand in the business.
Well, you know, he was the head of the CIA. He was a U.S. ambassador to China.
No, not that Bush. No.
George, you're talking about George, please.
Well, but he's the only person I can think of that ever had a business.
Well, if he did,
or tried to run one.
Well, if he did. If you read the story on how he gets the Texas Rangers, which is.
Yes, I did.
It was a group of his father's friends.
And father's mother.
And they put him in there. No, he's...
Yeah.
He could arguably be... What he did in the Middle East won't get straightened in my grandson's time. What was done. I appreciate
you.
Thank you. All right, what are we doing here, Lou? We in good shape? We can take a break? All right, Lou's in charge. 303-696-1971. Again, these... Absolutely well thought out calls. It is, let me see, look at the time. It's 24 after the hour of 11 o'clock. It's time to gear up for spring with Arvada Army Navy Surplus. Love the place. We talked about it. We rode the motorcycles up there, and they've been serving customers in Old Town Arvada since 1984. They have great spring deals going on right now. Men's and women's sandals, flip-flops from Reef and Teva and Soft. They have great prices on 1-, 2-, and 4-man links, backpacking tents from Alps Mountaineering. Great deals. On 0 degree, there's mummy sleeping bags for $65. 20 degree sleeping bags, for $60 from Ledge Outdoor. Steve's the owner. Steven's the owner. I talked to his dad on the phone. His dad started it. The staff, they're highly knowledgeable, and they'll assist you in finding all the gear you need for your next spring adventures. So the store has so many cool things to check out. You never want to leave once you step foot in Arvada Army Navy Surplus. A bunch of gear on the walls, and they have everything on display. Your kids and grandkids will have fun. Learn something. Stop and see them today, Old Town Arvada. Check them out, ArvadaSurplus.com. That's ArvadaSurplus.com. Old Town Arvada, ArvadaSurplus.com. Lou, it's yours. On a Saturday morning, everyone, good morning, April 13th. I'm Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS Weather Center weather, 78, the high and 80 on Sunday. We're really all over the boards. It's turned into a wonderful philosophical discussion. We brought up OJ, and we got some calls on it earlier, and then into the U.S. and what is taking place inside of in Persian Gulf and Red Sea this morning and this afternoon, and Joe Biden is saying a war is imminent and the strike is coming, and what we do with all of that. Let's go to Mike down here. Hey, Mike, you're on a radio show. Thank you for calling. Lines are full. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Hey, man.
I just wanted, you mentioned it earlier, I just wanted to take a brief minute, retired cop, and read a book, and I also got to meet the author, retired L.A. cop, talking about this Jason theory. Mm-hmm. And if you match it to a book that he wrote on the Jason theory, and you match it to If I Did It, and this mysterious character, Raoul, in his theory, just not to bore your listeners, he says that Jason killed Nicole. And just briefly.
Yeah, I know. But
Jason was stalking Nicole.
Yeah.
And
OJ took the fall. Yeah.
Right.
No. Nah.
And that's why there was no blood in the Bronco.
No, there was. Remember the blood? There was a match, a spattered match.
A little tiny spot, and that OJ dumped the clothes, that he was there.
Well, he dumped a knife. He dumped a knife probably in a trash container someplace.
At the airport.
Yeah,
and that's why, you know, he jumped the fence because he realized there's limo drivers out there. And that's why, because, you know, here's where it's conflicted, is that if OJ had done this, where's the blood transfer to him? I mean, because there's no time for a shower. And you and I both.
Well, they remember the woman. The woman sees him. I love the call. Thank you. It's very clear. I mean, I think to most people that OJ did indeed murder her and Ron Goldman. He's later found liable for the killings in a civil suit brought by the families. And so in 1990s, when OJ's murder trial, the country's divided. There was a broad consensus on OJ's guilt. And I remember they dubbed it the trial of the century. Dan Kaplis covered it, and he was there. Today, I always wondered would the trial be different today? If it were today, she's clearly an abused woman. She has evidence that she's abused. Remember the 911 tapes? He's breaking through.
I think there's enough case there. It's just that, you know, the only questions that I had, you know, as a 30-year cop, I went back and forth on this. I guess, you know, my thing is that you know, I covered a lot of homicides, and my whole problem is, where's the amount of blood in the Bronco? Because he's got zero time to shower. And I mean, I've seen a lot of killings. You stand behind somebody and cut their throat, and you get in a fight with Goldman. Where's the wounds? Because Goldman fought like hell. And, you know, you get close with somebody, Pete. You've been in martial arts fights.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude, to get that close and stab somebody to death, I mean, stabbing is the most brutal.
Well, I thought that he had, this is horrible to talk about, but I thought he got their throats. He got them right away, and they bled.
Well, he had to stand behind Nicole. And I don't care how much you do. There's going to be some blood transfer.
Oh, sure.
I mean, there's not going
to
be.
All right, let me cut to the show. I love your call. Do you think he did it?
Nope.
Do you think he did it?
In my heart of hearts, I think Jason did it because they have the same DNA, same shoe size.
It wouldn't be identical.
I think that Jason has three priors for ag assault. He has a chef's knife. I think that knife, that 6-inch knife, wasn't adequate to cut it. I think it would have taken a chef's knife to do it. And I think that everything else, I think O.J. thought he could smoke the cops because he was well done. I mean, that's just my theory. And I think that everything that the cops told me, that you know, he was a pal of the cops. And I think that Shipman was going over. She had the candles out because she was expecting a lover.
Oh, believe me. Stay right there. She allegedly, he was a player and she was a player.
And Goldman was there to deliver her cocaine.
It was her glasses. But they had seen him driving.
They had seen him driving.
She had a Ferrari. And in Beverly Hills, in Brentwood. And people saw Ron Goldman driving Nicole Simpson's Ferrari with, you know, the top off. They were more than just he was dropping the glasses off.
What he was to her, and I can't prove this, you know, other than what I was told by L.A. cops, the Mezzaluna was a cocaine distributorship.
Oh, sure.
And he was there. He was her cocaine distributorship. This is all hearsay. I can't prove
it. No, I know. I understand.
This is just cops and bars and talking. But she was expecting Ron Shipman. That was a friend of O.J.'s who was a cop. He'd been at O.J.'s house, and she had called him to say, look, I'm afraid of Jason. He's been stalking me. He looks through the window, and that's who she was anticipating that night to be her bodyguard. Now, you know what? I can't prove any of this. Talking to guys over beers.
Yeah, I was watching. You know? I was watching TV this week, and Cato Kalin,
and he invites him for a hamburger.
Yeah.
This is a nobody. Yeah.
Come on.
He brought him over there because she was seeing Nicole too.
Well,
I mean, you know,
Nicole was, but she's clearly in today's world, she's what was done
but
to her. She's
done it? Sure.
Sure, but this is a sidebar story. So I'm working at KHOW, and we're in the Clear Channel building, and they went through this period where they bought people to come to town, and they bring Cato in, and he was in this denying thing, and so I watched him on the tube, I guess it was Wednesday, and they asked him, and he said, oh, yeah, O.J. did it, and I'm thinking, well, whoa, Red Ryder, why didn't you say that, you know, back, when you were... And he was afraid of the juice. I mean, and plus, he was, you know, he's a mooch. we used to call guys like that mooches. But
he was a mooch, and then O.J. was connected. Look at the guys that went with him to that hotel.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you think he didn't know people? And then the bottom line is, I'll thank you for giving me the time
to
throw up theories. But, you know, look at his attorney. Hey, O.J., don't take arthritis medicine for a week so your hands swell.
And, sure.
You know, here's F. Lee Bailey telling Dart, you know, a real lawyer would tell O.J., let's cut to the chase,
yep.
Chris. try those gloves on, which you and I both know, Peter, blood makes leather shrink.
Get
them to put those gloves on.
There were so many people out of that I got to meet, and they sat in the studio. F. Lee Bailey, I was telling my brother this story, and he had a brother that was also an insurance, did some insurance stuff. And my mother, for something that was like she was getting screwed on an insurance thing, and Bailey was really cool because Bailey had he had gotten the original fugitive off. It was that doctor, I think his last name was Miller. And what a lot of people, he was the original, you know, the guy that he didn't know murdered his wife in Ohio, I think it was.
That Carl Chapman or whoever
yes.
it was.
Anyhow, but that guy ended up in pro wrestling. And Heenan knew him. And they said they used to get him drunk and say, "You did it, didn't you?" typical. But so my mom's having some. F. Lee Bailey called it. This is F. Lee Bailey called his brother, and we gave F. Lee Bailey my mom's phone number and gave it to his brother, and his brother got my mom out of a jam for real, Bailey. And I met Johnny Cochran, and I was saying Johnny Cochran was little. I thought Johnny Cochran was going to be a big guy. He wasn't. He was like me, a little guy. Who else met? I met Marsh Clark. And
I met Johnny Cochran. Me and Mike O'Neill.
I know Mike O'Neill. O'Neill. Yeah.
We met him. He came to represent the lady.
That's right.
Paul Childs.
That's right.
He came to represent him and Al Sharpton.
That's when I met him.
March 7th.
That's when I met him.
District 2. and he was really little. I remember them sitting there at 32nd in Colorado. Mike and I were standing there, and I go, "There's no gloves. I guess it fits."
He looked so big on here. He looked so big on TV. You know, it was Johnny Cochran.
His glasses were bigger.
He was big, and he came in the studio. Yeah,
I remember on Kramer, the guy played him to a T. Like,
oh, had him down.
The guy that he did on it.
Yeah, but
it's just so funny.
Would the OJ? And by the way, that was one of the first reality shows. Was OJ's trial? Would it be different today? And I think it probably would be because she was a battered woman.
It would be a lot different today because I don't think you'd get the sympathy. And I don't know if because and I'm going to be I think I'll be banned for life for saying that off the radio. But I think it was the jury saying.
Oh, sure.
I think it was the Rodney King verdict.
Absolutely.
Them saying, OK, this is all time give you. For what we perceive you did to us. No,
that was written about forever, that it was the jury nullifying. But the juice, he killed him. It's like,
Patsy killed her. And I mean, I think that there's one person in this world besides you that got to the real Patsy, and that was Tom. You know, it was Tom Haney in the interview room. Yeah. He's the one person in my lifetime that got to Patsy, when she leaned across that table and said, "Don't you go there." Because I think if he'd have been there from the first day and Dave Michaud, rest his soul, he'd offered, "I'll send Tom Haney up there."
And they said no.
And I'll guarantee you there'd have been a different outcome in the Patsy Ramp.
Final, I got to...
I appreciate you letting me throw.
Oh, please! They had an FBI academy for civilians, and they asked me if I wanted to go, and I said sure. And you had to go one night a week, and I called a junior G-man school, but it was cool. We guys come in and lecture, and the feds were in there, and they knew that I was in the radio business and doing the stuff with Patsy and the Jeanne-Mance story. And this guy looks at me. I don't know who he was. He said, "Let me tell you something," he said, "that ain't no whodunit."
No, they're guy that's done all the FBI profiling stuff.
Oh, they knew.
Douglas, he'll tell you right now, that rope was written inside. They told
please.
Him from day one. They told the Boulder police.
Well, now, remember, now Netflix is here with that Michael Tracy, who's just... remember this. The grand jury wanted to indict them both. Alex Hunter. Hey, we'll meet. Hey, I mean, great call. Mike, thanks so much. Very good call. Again, these are just killer calls. What kind of shape we in, Lou?
Break.
Lou said break. Lou's word. We do it down. I'll tell you about Dan Kaplis as we go into the pause. First of all, he says a great friend. Get him going on OJ. He covered it. And Danny suggests that you choose a lawyer who shares your values, and because who you choose to represent you in an injury case says so much about you and anybody involved in the case. And Dan Kaplis is a son of a cop, and he's also a former seminarian, and he's dedicated his last 40 years of his life, his firm, helping people who were hurt in serious motor vehicle crashes. Danny is believed to be the only lawyer in Colorado history to win 5 straight multi-million dollar jury verdicts. If you're in a jam, call the man. Dan Kaplis Law, serious firm for serious cases. Danny accepts righteous injury cases, percentage fee basis. Pick up the phone. You got a problem in the family, you need to have some answers. 303-770-5551. 303-770-5551. On the internet, it's hit Kaplis Law, Dan, C-A-P-L-I-S, C-A-P-L-I-S, law.com. That's dankaplis.com. Do yourself a favor, pick up the phone. They'll write back to you. 303-770-5551. Jam Lines, morning, everybody. 11:48, 12 minutes before the hour. 78 will be the high, and then tomorrow, Sunday, 80. We're already planning the motorcycle ride. Internet busting out. 70 on Back to Work Monday. Let's go to Jeff on line one. Jeffrey, you waited. I appreciate it. You're on the radio show. Good morning.
Morning, Pete. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thanks.
I've been in studio with you once with Victor Coronis, the kid that was in L.A.
Sure.
That had the death threats. We took the bikes out and escorted him back to school. And then
yes.
You rode with us at Cue Ball's last ride out to the hospital there in Littleton.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm going to ride today, I hope, but certainly tomorrow.
Good, good. Good to hear. I live in Alaska now, man.
Get where?
Prince of Wales Island, far southeast Alaska.
What are you doing for a living?
As little as I can.
You're the man. Where now? If I looked at a map of Alaska, where would I look?
That tail that comes down along Canada.
Oh, okay.
Right next door to Canada. I'm across from Ketchikan.
What's the weather right now as we speak?
It just started to rain a little bit, but it's not bad.
You know, Alaska.
You have an open invite to come up anytime you want.
You know, we were talking about Alaska with my family about it. When it gets dark, the nights are there, and when it gets light, it never gets dark. And so, you know, and how do you know when to go to the bar? That was my question.
Well, it's not when to go, it's when to leave.
It's even better. I remember talking to some guy the first time I was up there, and I said, do the oil checks still come in?
Yeah.
Explain.
They call it the permanent fund.
Explain that, how that works.
You have to be a resident.
Yeah.
You can't be a part-time resident, which
right.
a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And you apply for it. You just fill it out. They call it the PFD.
How much do you get?
It varies from year to year. I didn't qualify last year, and I think they got a couple $1,000s.
Yeah, I know. It's good dough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nothing to, you know, it's not life-changing. But,
no.
You know, it covers your, you know, your beer tab.
Well, I asked somebody, I said, well, what happens when the checks hit? The guy said a couple of different things. I said, well, like what? He said, some guys get a big screen, some guys get a divorce. True story. I'm going,
yeah,
all right.
You know, sounds
mean,
about right.
Yeah, that's and yeah, I mean, so why? Well, I understand why people leave. So what would you like to say about the conversation?
Yeah, there's a wild card that Biden is probably starting to play right now. We have never not elected an incumbent that wartime.
Oh yeah, no, you do not change horses in the middle of the stream. That's right.
Right, and the parties that be that are controlling Biden are putting us at war now. They need him back in office to continue this.
Well, the Iranians, I'll just read what's on the wire, readies more than 100 cruise missiles and drones for deadly Israel strike. U.S. intelligence officials reveal Pentagon moves aircraft carriers into the Red Sea amid fears of full-scale war. This is what I'm reading right now. Iran has reportedly readied an arsenal of cruise missiles and drones. The country has threatened to hit back at Israel over the attack in Syria last week. What is in it for us? What's in it for our country?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Other than Biden's reelection.
Oh, that's an interesting spin. ABC is carrying it now. CNN is carrying it this morning that the U.S. Has observed Iran readying at least 100 cruisers, and they indicated they would be ready to attack. And, you know, already the Israelis are locked in the war in Gaza, the so-called two-front war. I thought about that. Hey, let me ask you one more. This is an old friend. Why hasn't anybody in this country gone to Haiti to help them out?
I would guess that Hillary and Bill have something to do with that.
Well, it was a long time ago. The Clintons, there was her brother, I think, that Roger, no, Roger Clinton's his brother. Rodham, H-U-G-H, Rodham. And
yeah.
When I was there, Kenny and I went, Kenny Danen, and the rumor was that the baby doc was coming back. And I saw the palace. It's in Port-au-Prince. That was Papa Doc's palace. And because he knew where the gold was, everybody had hopped the fences, and they dug up holes. I mean, it was a beautiful palace. All the holes were everywhere, and, you know, piles of dirt, people looking for the Duvalier's gold. And no one ever found it. And then Baby Doc's dead now. But during the time of Papa Doc, that wasn't a screw around place. But how come nobody's?
I think the Clintons have a hands off policy with it. Yeah. I don't think they want anybody down there.
Well,
finding out what they really did.
Well, they really put. I mean, the word was when we were there that they had done something, but it was you. It was her brother, you Rodham, who was always jammed up in some deal. I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to steal. There's nobody to do what they want to do. And I was telling when you read those histories of disease that during the time of Napoleon that they controlled the island, there was a slave revolt. And Napoleon sends, I think it was 11,000, don't hold me, infantry soldiers to put down the slaves. And when they got there, they all got malaria and they died. And that's why we have so Napoleon needs money to finance his wars, so he sells Louisiana to Thomas Jefferson. And that has that's where the diseases change the course of the world.
Yeah. And same topic a little bit. I was in Haiti a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
These cruise lines, they have these little corners, these little coves mm-hmm. and stuff, and then they sail into them, and you get out, and the place, I think it was called Labadee.
Okay.
It's just this little cruise ship built type phony community there, and then outside the gates is an actual, you know, there's Haiti. You're in Haiti. And it was really interesting because they have all this tourist stuff set up for you to buy, and
it's like
a madhouse when you get out there. It's strange. But there's nobody checking passports, nothing.
No. But now, you know.
Don't be late.
But once again, ask yourself, the Clintons are by and large out right now. But ask yourself, why no one's going to Haiti to help save them. And I think the answer is there's nothing to take. There's nothing to steal. It's like when Hutus were murdering Tutsis. Nobody went. And eventually, I think the French sent some of their GIs. But there was nothing there for you to gain from. And so they stayed out. Hey, man.
Doesn't fit the narrative.
No, it doesn't. As always, I miss you, man. I'm going to ride today and ride tomorrow. The boys are ready to go. I'll find you.
Twist the throttle for me. I'll be down there in June. I'll get a hold of you. Maybe we
please
can
do.
Quick spin.
I promise. Yeah. All right.
Hey,
thank you.
Visit. You got an open invitation, man.
Don't tempt. Thanks. All right, everybody. Another hour of talk radio straight ahead. As we were mentioning, the Iran, United States, the relationships. Would the OJ trial be different today? And we talked about that. But watching this, military officials are briefing people right now on the they say the Iranians are coming and cruise missiles and they and going back. We were talking about the history of the Iranians and our history with the Iranians. And they've turned the Iranians into the boogeyman. And is it real? So 78 will be the high, 80 on Sunday and 70 on Monday. Lou, you ready? Pull the pin. We come right back with one more hour.